fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Eve, and Chris.
Happy holidays. Hope you got a nice present with a championship in fantasy, or maybe you still have a lot at stake tonight, or maybe you do in week 17. I'm Adam Azer with Chris Towers. Hey. No Heath today.
No Heath. Finally, we're alone.
Yeah. You know, I sent a text message to Creeth yesterday, to both of them, Chris and Heath, and I said, Merry Christmas, Heath, or Creeth. Hold on, I'm trying to pull up the actual text, but it was very nice. Merry Christmas, Creeth. Enjoy your holiday. And only Chris got back to me. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the holidays. And I appreciated that, Chris. I don't know where Heath is. I don't know why he didn't get back to me.
Apparently, they don't have text messaging in Kansas or Missouri.
Missouri. Yeah, no, they don't have it there. What a shame. Nobody was texting about that big Chiefs win yesterday. The Chiefs are good. And I think you actually were asking me a trivia question in the mic check.
Yes.
Yeah. So go ahead. Ask it again.
Dontari Poe is the heaviest player in NFL history to throw a touchdown pass at 345 pounds. Do you know who number two is?
I'm going to guess. I'm going to let the listeners think about it for about 5 seconds. I think I have a guess.
Okay.
Three, two. Jared Lorenzen.
It is not Jared Lorenzen.
Okay, I don't know who.
Jamarcus Russell. 265 pounds listed. And so, yeah, that's a fun trivia. It was kind of a Belichickian move,
yeah,
to have your defensive tackle throw a touchdown when you're already up by three scores. But
yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Broncos were gracious about it. They were like, "We'll remember it," but it wasn't that bad. I guess it wasn't that much anger. But a big win for the Chiefs, and now the Chiefs actually have a chance for the 2 seed. So we'll tell you who's not playing for anything in Fantasy Week 17, which team. There aren't that many, but there are a few teams that really have nothing to play for. They're locked in, and obviously I'm not talking about the teams that have been eliminated, but it will have an effect on fantasy. Today is Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa to everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you are celebrating, hope it was great.
Yes.
Seriously, Chris, I think I had the best weekend of 2016. I had an amazing weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not much, but I will say this, not much of a story or anything. I'll say this for the listeners, you know, I had a tough decision. Do I hang out with my family or do I watch football? Because obviously I need to watch football. I was able to mostly do both, but I did not follow the games quite as closely as I normally do. I didn't really get to see, like, how much was Patrick Peterson on Doug Baldwin? Or who did
that's okay.
Yeah,
we,
that
we
kind
don't
of stuff.
You.
So I spent Hanukkah with my cousins on Saturday. I spent Christmas with Allie's family on Sunday.
Nice.
I did some karaoke because they bought the kids a karaoke machine.
Ah, what
song? I did a couple of R.I.P. tributes. I did the Growing Pains theme song, and then I did Faith by George Michael.
Those are good ones, yeah.
Yeah. So I had an amazing weekend. I hope everybody else did. Chris, did you?
I had a nice weekend, yeah. My sister got me... you know the This Is Fine comic with the dog in the burning house?
No.
It's how have you not seen this? It's like the best thing ever. She
okay.
got me a plush version of the dog. He's holding a mug that says This Is Fine, and it comes with a little cardboard house that's on fire. It's the best gift ever.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear that. Let's talk fantasy football.
Let's do it.
So how'd you do? Champion?
No championships. I was still playing for something in three leagues. The only one that I won in this week was the third place consolation game that I was playing in. And it's the teams where I was the number one seed to one team that was 12-3, one team that was 13-2. Both of them fell.
Wow.
It's very, very disheartening.
But you have some week 17 contests?
I don't think I do.
Okay. So good year, but bad luck in the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah, it happens. Now, I was playing for two championships. I was playing Jamie in Fantasy Football Today and Will in the two quarterback league. And I never look at who my opponent has. Jamie kept casually telling me who was on his team. I knew he had Drew Brees. I knew he had Devontae Freeman. It's a PPR league, so the 8 catches help. I knew he had Garcon.
You haven't looked yet?
Okay, listen, here's what happened. I decided I'm not looking until Monday on the air. I want to reveal it to everyone. I want everybody in on this. Did I win the two leagues?
This is...
Hey, hold on, Chris. So, I know, it's crazy. I'm going through my tweets last night, and somebody retweeted a Jamie Eisenberg tweet, because Jamie's such a baby. He's like, you're killing me. I have no chance. I have no chance. I had Jordy Nelson. And I see a tweet that Jamie says, I need like 17 points or 19 points from Tyreek Hill in a PPR league to beat a podcast host. But he didn't put me on the tweet because I told him, don't do that. So that was nice of him. But somebody retweeted and put me on. So I said, oh, crap, because it was. There were 3 minutes left. I go onto the website. I look at the score. Azer 138, Eisenberg 137. And there's 3 minutes left. And I'm like, don't give Tyreek Hill the ball. And they didn't. And I, as of now, have won the Fantasy Football Today League by one freaking point.
1 point.
Pending a stat correction.
Oh. I mean, you know, the Chargers did have 9 sacks. If one of those gets turned into like a
shut up
or something,
shut up, Chris.
You know, there's a chance.
I did have the Chargers DST. Yeah, like he got 14 more points than me from his kicker. He had Bryant, I had Vinatieri. But wow, I've never been in a contest like that ever. Now, to quarterback league, let's find out if I won. I know I had Carr. And Brady.
Yep.
But I know Brinson has a great team, and I know he has Le'Veon Bell. So I'm watching that game on Sunday, and I'm like, oh, crap. I have a feeling I lost. I started Julio Jones. I did lose.
He only had 3 good players. But he had Travis Kelce, Le'Veon Bell. Oh, boy.
He had Kelce, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, he beat me.
You went against Matt Bryant in 2 leagues.
What'd you say?
You went against Matt Bryant in 2 different leagues.
Oh, Matt Bryant. He Matt Bryanted me? Son of a B. Man, that sucks. You know,
look, you
and
won.
His quarterbacks were terrible. He had Cam Newton and Mariota. I had Carr and Brady, and he beat me by 11.
Quarterbacks are replaceable, Adam. What do I always tell you?
I guess so. Oh, McCoy and Le'Veon Bell. How do you lose with that team? The Kelce thing. See, the Kelce thing would have driven me crazy. If I had gone into that Sunday night game, watching that game, and knowing I needed Kelce just to have like an okay game, he could have had a good game. I would have won 27 and a half points and a half.
Travis Kelce's good.
How about this? Dave Richard did a Twitter poll. I don't know, yesterday, this morning. Who would you rather have next year, Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski? And Kelce is like running away with it.
We are prisoners of the moment. I understand that Rob Gronkowski has a back injury and those are always scary, but it's Rob Gronkowski. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. He's got 60% of the vote, Travis Kelce.
So does that mean that like, Rob Gronkowski is going to be the third tight end taken next year?
Well, who's the... So, Kelce...
Well, like, if you're taking Travis Kelce over him, you're probably taking Greg Olsen over him too, right?
I mean, Olsen is like this totally safe, consistent, every year, same guy. He doesn't score enough touchdowns.
But Travis Kelsey's only got 4.
I know, that's the thing. Kelce is barely ahead of Olsen. He's like 7 fantasy points ahead of Olsen in standard. He's 12 ahead of Olsen in standard, 19 ahead in PPR. But he is coming on strong. And it's a tough call because we've seen spurts from Kelce. Yeah. But, he's going to drive people crazy next year. I have a feeling I'm not going to have him on any team. So
he's going to be this year's Jordan Reed, I think. Just ends up getting drafted too high.
Yeah, right. And he could be, you know, this year's Travis Kelce from last year when he went too high. So, all right, let's do winners and losers. We have a ton of injuries to talk about.
Yeah.
It seems like Alex Collins could be interesting in Week 17 if you're still playing into Week 17. A lot of scoring, but a lot of injuries in Week 16. It was kind of fun and wild. Chris's winner is Jay Ajayi with 206 yards on 32 carries and a touchdown. If you started him, congratulations.
How about this stat? He is the first player since Tiki Barber in 2005 to have 3 200-yard games in a single season.
Pretty good, yeah. Now, he owes some of that to Rex Ryan and the Bills being it's just, you know, having such a lack of organization because on his 57-yard run in overtime, the Bills had 10 players on the field. Stephon Gilmore came off the field with a concussion. They didn't communicate. Is he coming back on? That's just that should get you fired. That gets you fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's had a weird season, 1,213 yards in 14 games. You'll take that. He's probably going to end up with close to 1,300 rushing yards, but you know, it's been tough to rely on him for really like 75% of the season.
Right.
I don't know what to make of him going into next year.
You know, the Dolphins talk about him like he's a star. I read a Palm Beach Post blog entry today, not from like a blogger, from a writer, who's just praising Jay Ajayi. It seems like they love him, and they want to, every time he struggles, they just blame it on the offensive line. That's exactly what was happening with Doug Martin, by the way, until they made him inactive.
Yeah.
I don't know, Chris. It's going to be interesting. He's a guy who's, like we did the Twitter poll last week. Remember, Chris, a couple months ago or so on the Monday show, we talked about, is Jay Ajayi a first-round pick? And I said, yes. I think you were on the fence. Heath was, I think, back-end first round. And now it's really not even close, but maybe this performance opens people's eyes a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it's just like, I don't think he's one of the first six running backs taken next season. And are we sure we're taking him over someone like Jordan Howard, even? You know, forget the elite guys, just someone like that, who I don't think anybody considers like a truly elite running back, who's probably had a better season than Jay Ajayi, at least when it comes to consistency.
Jordan Howard, man, every week runs well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay Ajayi does lead the NFL in missed tackles forced among running backs with 54. The next closest is 46 with DeMarco Murray, so that's a pretty good sign.
Oh, yeah. I think he's Marshawn Lynch. Violent runner, very physical, can make people miss, can run people over.
Maybe like a poor man's Marshawn Lynch.
Maybe, but who knows? I mean, he's got three 200-yard games, yeah. So who knows? All right, and my winner is Adam Thielen.
Yeah?
Dude's 21% owned. He's playing the Bears. Obviously, if you're playing in Week 17, he's a must-add. And 202 yards on 15 targets, 12 catches. So I saw a YouTube compilation of basically all of his catches. And I've seen a lot of Thielen this year, and he's a good player. He's a solid player. I don't think he has elite speed, but it might be kind of deceiving speed. But he just makes tough catches. He plays in the slot. He plays outside. Seems pretty sure-handed, and he's obviously right now the best wide receiver on the Vikings, and he'll be an interesting call with Stephon Diggs next year.
I wish I had a better comp, because I hate going with an obvious one. It feels like those years where Brian Hartline put up big receiving numbers for the Dolphins, but was never actually all that good. It's hard for me to shake that feeling. You know, coming off, he got hurt in week 15. I don't know. I have trouble buying it. Maybe that's my own. Maybe that's being unfair to a guy that was undrafted and didn't have much track record before this year, but I would definitely take Stephon Diggs over him.
Next year.
Yes.
But right now, if you're playing into week 17,
sure,
you got to have Adam Thielen on your team. The losers. Your loser is Rob Kelly. By the way, Ajayi, Chris just picked running backs who got hurt. Ajayi has a shoulder injury. He says he's fine. And Kelly suffered a sprained knee. Not sure if this is a big deal or not. They have a really big game they need to win to stay alive against the Giants, who have nothing to play for. But Rob Kelly, 19 carries, 76 yards, 2 catches for 6 yards at Chicago. He's your loser.
And really, the losers are the people who started Rob Kelly yesterday or on Saturday, because they had so many opportunities near the goal line, and Rob Kelly got none of them. Kirk Cousins had 2 rushing touchdowns. Someone else had a run.
Chris Thompson.
Yeah, Chris Thompson had. And it's just like, that's just unfair.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Kelly owner in both of the leagues, right? In both of the leagues I was playing in. So he was probably the most important player for me, him and Crabtree. And Chris Thompson, and I also had Cousins. So it's one thing when Thompson catches the touchdown, because he had 2 touchdowns. I was okay with that. When Thompson runs the ball in, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Very frustrating.
That's just bad luck. And if you're looking at Rob Kelly moving forward, assuming the knee is okay, I think you still feel pretty good about him. But that's a heartbreaker for anyone who started him this week, because it could have been a huge game.
Yeah.
And it just ended up not being one just because of circumstances alone.
And I could have beaten Will. I'm kind of mad about this. I'm kind of annoyed by this, that Will beat me because of Travis Kelce. That's just, come on. The Broncos. I mean, the Broncos had no TJ Ward, no Brandon Marshall. They also lost Derek Wolfe during the game. They lost Kayvon Webster, a cornerback. They are really beat up on defense. But you gotta do better than that. Like that little bubble screen should not have been an 80-yard touchdown. Pathetic. It cost me a championship. And it cost you the playoffs. I'm not sure which one's more severe, Broncos, but I'm very disappointed in you. My loser is the Broncos. Also, Latavius Murray. It's kind of interesting, Chris. So DeAndre Washington was a healthy scratch for 2 weeks. And he only played six snaps. He only played two snaps in another game, right? So that was a three-game stretch. Latavius Murray had 19 to 22 carries in all three of those games. That was weeks 12, 13, and 14. You know, Washington comes back yesterday, gets 12 carries. Murray had 15. And I don't think Washington's better than Murray or anything. He had 99 yards and two 22-yard touchdown runs. Jalen Richard had six carries. Richard also got hurt in the game. But now it's just kind of looking like what it looked like in the early part of the season when we were like, oh, Murray's good, but he's not getting enough work. And, you know, I don't know. So they got the Broncos. And if you think about the Broncos-Raiders game the first time they played, the Raiders ran the ball like crazy. And yep. Now Derek Carr's out, so you got to figure they're going to do the same. But you got to figure they're also easier to defend. So Murray, with Washington having more of a role, Murray's still the best running back for fantasy purposes there. I think he's a slight loser. Because yeah. I don't think the only way he's getting 20 carries is if they run the ball 35 times, which they could against Broncos.
And it just, you know, this has been the concern with Latavius Murray all season, that they just haven't had much of a reason to be invested in him because he's a free agent coming up. They don't have a huge monetary investment. You know, Richard and Washington both look pretty solid. I think Washington was, what, a third round pick this year?
I'm not sure.
So,
that sounds
so
about
you've
right.
got. A situation where he seems expendable, but he's made it hard for them to just get rid of him.
Fifth round pick.
But those guys have still been there all season.
Okay, yeah. Fifth round pick for Washington.
Okay, yeah.
But, right, it does make it interesting because if he's still on the Raiders next year, Murray, you're going to wonder how many carries is he going to get? They obviously like Washington and they like Richard and they have a good running game. All right, your news. Derek Carr broke his leg. Marcus Mariota, also broken leg, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So they're both out for the regular season, and hopefully, you know, I can't see Carr coming back even if they go to the Super Bowl, but you know, you never know. RG3 being evaluated for a concussion. Cody Kessler finished the game. Bryce Petty left with a shoulder injury after throwing three passes. So if you started Robbie Anderson, not to say he was going to have a good game anyway, but that didn't help. Fitzpatrick played almost the entire game.
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde. So the running back injuries are interesting. Carlos Hyde tore his MCL. He's out for the year. San Francisco's O-line is really beat up. They had Zane Beatles move from guard and playing center. Their left tackle, Joe Staley, was out. They had another injury, and now they've got the Seahawks. So I don't think you're going to want anyone in that backfield, but you know, maybe you're desperate. The same game next week, San Francisco-Seattle, Thomas Rawls, if he's out, Alex Collins right now is really their only healthy running back.
Yeah.
And he's got the Niners. So, Chris, it would not surprise me if Alex Collins wins someone a fantasy championship.
Oh, for sure, yeah. If Thomas Rawls has to sit out and, San Francisco, they can't stop anyone except Todd Gurley.
So. And even he scored. And you know, the Seahawks do have a lot to play for. They've got, I'm going to look at the playoff picture now. I think they've got a chance for the 2 seed. Right now they're the 4 seed. They're in the playoffs. But if the Falcons lose, yeah, the Seahawks are still alive. They're 9-5-1. The Falcons are 10-5. So the Seahawks could get the 2 seed with a win and a Falcons loss. The Lions could factor in there, and the Packers could factor in there as well. We got Doug Martin getting benched. So the writers
with no warning.
Right, with no warning. So Jacquizz Rodgers was the guy. 15 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. He's been better than Doug Martin this year, and Rodgers is 36% owned. We don't know if Martin's going to play this week. The writers seem to think he hasn't really been the same since his midseason hamstring injury. I mean, if you're going to pick up Jacquizz Rodgers or Alex Collins right now, who would you lean toward?
Probably Collins, just because I think he's got the better matchup in week 17, and that's really all I'm going to care about with a couple of backups. And I'm not convinced that Jacquizz Rodgers, I don't see any reason to think he's better than Charles Sims. It was disappointing to see Sims not get more work in that game.
Well, forget if he's better. I think it seems pretty clear that
Yeah.
He's going to get more work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Sims might not be completely healthy. He missed half the season. Lamar Miller, not sure if he's going to play in week 17. Alfred Blue actually had a good game. They're at Tennessee and they have no reason to play Lamar Miller because they are locked into the four.
That was the talk before the game, was that they would sit Lamar Miller this week. If they needed him next week, he'd be good to go. But if they don't need him, they can just give him an extra week of rest.
Okay, so Pittsburgh is the three. Houston is the four. Dallas is the one in the NFC East. In the NFC, rather. And I thought the Giants were locked in as the five. Dave Richards told me that there might be a scenario. He wasn't sure. There might be a scenario where the Giants could get the six. I will Google search that now, but I think they're locked into the five and have nothing to play for. Spencer Ware is going to have an MRI on his ribs. We will talk about Tyreek Hill shortly. Chris Ivory, but really Sharkhandrick West is another guy you need to know. And the Chiefs do have something to play for in terms of seeding. Chris Ivory left with a hamstring injury. TJ Yeldon, ankle injury. So Corey Grant, Denard Robinson was inactive with an ankle injury. Corey Grant might be someone you pick up. They're at Indianapolis. Quickly on the receivers, Tyler Lockett. We saw the brutal injury. That was awful. He's going to have surgery and see how it affects his status for next year. It was gruesome. AJ Green appears to be done for the season. And I got to say, I'm so happy they didn't play him because I didn't really want to start him. I was looking for an excuse not to, but if he had been active, I would have started AJ Green. I was able to start Michael Crabtree instead and lost to Will anyway. But I always thought that took some pressure off fantasy owners.
Definitely, and you saw with Julio Jones how it was just, you come back from an injury like that, and they're different injuries, obviously, but missing that kind of time, there's no guarantee that you're going to come back and play your full role.
And, yeah, and Julio Jones, to be fair, did lead the Falcons in receiving.
Yeah, it was, what, 4 for 60?
Yes, yeah. So it wasn't a very good game. Kenny Britt, shoulder injury. Dante Moncrief, shoulder injury. Michael Crabtree has an injury. DeSean Jackson left after being hit in the jaw. They were winning. It was precautionary. He should be fine, and big game for them. Cameron Brate hurt his back. They still are alive, the Bucks, but have slim chances of making the playoffs. They've got Carolina, and Brate's pretty much a must-start at this point.
Yes.
Minnesota's defensive backs, they decided not to follow the game plan of Xavier Rhodes shadowing Jordy Nelson, but apparently that was only for one series, according to Adam Schefter. Either way, Jordy had a huge game, and Dontari Poe threw that touchdown pass, and it was awesome. So let's look at the playoff picture here. Dolphins are in, Chris! How excited are you?
Not very, but everyone else in Miami seems to be. We're buying into the Dolphins' fever. Matt Moore for president.
Yeah, I like to, you don't care at all, because even I care. I'm excited for the Dolphins.
I mean, I'm pleased.
Come on, man.
It's a good thing. It's better than them not making the playoffs.
What are you gonna do when their playoff game comes around?
Oh, when they win the Super Bowl?
No, like when they
play. Oh, we're parading down 8th Street, Adam.
When they play either the Steelers or the Texans in the first round, are you gonna like gather with your friends and watch?
I will likely go to some sort of establishment that sells chicken wings and beer.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, that's fun. That'll be fun. I'll actually be in town. I look forward to watching a Dolphins playoff game amongst Dolphins fans.
Okay.
But here we go. The Patriots.
I'll throw on my old school Chris Chambers jersey.
The Patriots need to win to clinch the one seed or have an Oakland loss. So the Patriots and the Broncos are still going to have something to play for this week. I'll simplify it and say this. The only teams that have nothing to play for in week 17 are the Steelers, the Texans, the Cowboys, and the Giants. The Giants are locked into the 5 seed. Other than that, you know, the Broncos, and the teams that have been eliminated, obviously. But the, what was I gonna say? Oh, the Packers-Lions game. Flex to Sunday night. Yeah. That's a huge game. That will decide the division. Oakland is playing after New England, though. So, but they still have the division. Right. So even if New England wins, beats Miami, and locks up the one seed, Oakland still needs to beat Denver or have Kansas City lose to win the AFC West and get the two seed. And Kansas City and Oakland are both playing at 425. So there's really not a lot. There's those four teams, the Steelers, the Texans, the Cowboys, and the Giants. Those are the ones that you have to worry about them resting players.
Yeah, Patriots Dolphins is actually really interesting because I think you could argue both teams do and don't have something to play for.
The Dolphins definitely do. The Dolphins want that five seed badly.
They
want to
get the five seed so they can avoid the New England Pittsburgh side of the bracket.
Yeah, and get the Texans. Yeah,
and you get the Texans and either the Chiefs or the Raiders. And
well, no, because if they are the highest remaining seed,
you'll get
the Patriots in theory. They get the one seed.
Yeah, they reseed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to figure out which teams are and are not going to be resting guys. In the NFL, you know, they've tried to do what they can to make it so that teams can't, you know, rest guys before finding out what their playoff seeding is. But you can't go around it, and week 17 is always weird. It's going to be really interesting. That Patriots-Dolphins game in particular could be very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be resting. Do you?
There's no way. Like, Dallas has to, right?
Dallas will. Play half the game or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think Dallas wants to invite a quarterback controversy.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, Mark Sanchez would get the quarterback play if they...
No way. Romo would get it. Just, I feel like he'd get like a half.
There's no way they can.
But, all right, you know what? Let's see what happens tonight, and we can react after that. But yeah, Lamar Miller, not a great chance to play. We'll see about the Steelers. They probably need only a half against Cleveland to put up big numbers. And we'll find out. Let me ask you some fantasy questions.
Okay.
Who let you down in week 16?
Doug Martin. I was supposed to start him in my championship game. I ended up putting Spencer Ware in my lineup for Doug Martin, and then at the very last minute, I panicked and put Charles Sims in over Spencer Ware. Luckily, it didn't matter. But just that whole situation really, really screwed me over. And Julio.
Yeah, Julio. Yeah,
Julio definitely. And Mike Evans.
Evans caught a touchdown, though.
I guess he did, yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was Amari Cooper.
Yep.
And Frank Gore. I actually won. That's the league I won by 1 point. But Gore with the fumble. You know, Gore, if he gets you the 8 points, it's like, okay, well, that's sort of like his floor. But he fumbled. He got you 6 points. And I think I was just expecting more from the Colts offense. Who came through for you in week 16? Jordy for me. Jordy won me, assuming there's no stat correction, he won me a league. And he's the number one wide receiver in fantasy right now, in standard. He's number two behind Antonio Brown in PPR.
You know what's crazy is that since week 8, when he really turned things around, I think he had that one catch game in week 7. Since week 8, he's the number one receiver in fantasy. Odell Beckham's number two, and he has 29 more points than Odell Beckham.
Wow.
He's been outrageously good.
And
the second half of the season.
Because it's almost like you have to wait another year after the ACL for him to really come back. So, tremendous year for Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Who came through for you?
Kirk Cousins had a really nice game, and it was super fluky. Two rushing touchdowns, but in week 16, you'll take it. It doesn't matter whether it's sustainable or not. And Odell Beckham, he's just been tremendous. I had him in two of my three championship leagues,
nice.
Even though I didn't win. He played well.
Cousins, it is a little interesting because he got the two rushing touchdowns, but he's got that athletic ability. He's got four rushing touchdowns this year. He had five last year. It's kind of an underrated part of his game.
And they will run. I think one of the touchdowns on Saturday was on a read option play. He had the like 23-yard touchdown run earlier in the season. They will run that with him, and he's okay with it.
And who is just kind of whatever for you?
Amari Cooper. I mean,
no, he was
I don't
bad.
Even think
he... I'm not even gonna. He's a dud.
Matt Ryan had a better in real life than fantasy game, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was such an interesting thing because the quarterbacks just scored so many points.
Yeah.
So you could have gotten a good game. Like Tom Brady. He's like the number eight quarterback this week or something. Crazy. So many points. For me, it was Martellus Bennett. I started him in both leagues.
And you got a touchdown.
Yeah, right. Can't complain. You got a touchdown from your tight end. So pretty good. Okay, let's
Devontae Freeman, another guy.
Who?
Devontae Freeman was another one. Had eight catches, but only 35 yards receiving, 53 on the ground.
Yep, it was Tevin Coleman week.
Well, he had that one long run, which was just brutal as someone who has Matt Ryan and Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, that's bad. It's like the Chris Thompson rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the leaderboard. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tyrod Taylor are your top three quarterbacks. 44 points. Wilson had, oh, man, a ton of points as well.
And it was all late.
Yeah.
Like, he did not have much through the first three quarters. I know, because I was going against him and I was feeling really good about it. And then he lit the scoreboard on fire late in that game.
And the third quarterback was Tyrod Taylor, who was playing from behind through 39 passes, which tied for the most this season. Third most rushing yards of the year with 60.
Yeah.
Had a huge game against the Dolphins. It did go to overtime. But any thoughts on Rodgers, Wilson, or Taylor?
I know Wilson's been mostly bad this season. I feel like he's going to be an absolute steal next year. I feel like it's going to be like Matt Ryan this year. He's going to get drafted in like the 9th or 10th round and just absolutely destroy people next season.
So as Rodgers had 44 points, Wilson had 41, and Taylor had 37. The running backs, of course, David Johnson is at the top. Jay Ajayi, number 2. We talked about him. Le'Veon Bell, number 3. Mark Ingram, 4. That's the one I want to focus on.
Yeah.
I sat there on Saturday morning, and I said, Ingram going up against the Bucs. He's in my lineup right now. I like the Bucs' run defense. I think it's good. You know, I almost subbed him out for Kenneth Farrow.
Oof.
Would have been one of the all-time dumb decisions.
Yeah.
But I looked at the rankings, and all three of our ranking analysts had Ingram ahead. I kept Ingram in there, and obviously he did well. And I thought after his little outburst last week, I thought
squeaky
he would get
wheel.
The touchdowns. And he did.
Yeah, squeaky wheel.
Yeah, so 18 carries, 90 yards, and 2 touchdowns, Chris.
He's clearly been the best running back in New Orleans all season long, and it's never quite made sense that they've been going with Tim Hightower. It's been just so frustrating as someone who doesn't even own Mark Ingram, but just is interested in good football players getting their opportunities. And hopefully this is the last that we hear about any sort of a running back committee in New Orleans.
He's averaging 5.1 yards per carry. He had a slow start, but then the San Francisco game turned his season around. Ingram's been really good since then. San Francisco tend to do that. Wide receivers, Thielen and Nelson, and then number 3, Doug Baldwin. 19 targets for Doug Baldwin. Wow.
He's really good.
Yeah.
I don't think people think of him as one of the best receivers in football, and I think we avoided him too much last season because there was too much touchdown regression. He was relying too much on the touchdowns, but you know, this season he's going to probably go right up to 1,200 yards, maybe 100 catches. This is 2 really good years in a row. They only throw the ball more and more as they've moved away from the running game. And I just think Doug Baldwin, I don't know if he's a number one fantasy wide receiver, but he's a really, really good number 2.
I drafted him in several leagues, and I had big hopes for Baldwin this year. And it's been an up and down year.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been a little frustrating. It's sort of like you're going to look at his end of season numbers and they're going to be pretty solid. And you're going to say it didn't really feel that way. Because on the road, Baldwin's been mostly terrible. I don't know if that's a legit thing or not. But same with Jimmy Graham. So it must be a Russell Wilson thing. Because the home road splits are pretty glaring in terms of fantasy points.
I would guess there's a lot of randomness in that. Russell Wilson has also just had an up and down season. But I think that passing game is going to be phenomenal next year.
All right. You're liking the Seahawks passing game. And your tight ends. Travis Kelce, 1. 2 and 3 are interesting. Charles Clay now, 3 straight games with a touchdown. 8 for 85 and 2 touchdowns against the Dolphins on 10 targets. So he's been 52 yards and a touchdown, 72 yards and a touchdown. Did have a bit of a fluky play against Cleveland, or maybe it was against Pittsburgh. And 2 touchdowns against the Dolphins on Saturday. What do you think? Is this legit with Charles Clay?
Nah, he's still Charles Clay. he's in that group of tight ends who, you know, when things are going well, they're useful. When they're not, they're waiver wire fodder. He probably should have been more than 24% owned because it was a good matchup. But yeah, he's not someone you're ever going to be excited about drafting or starting.
Okay. Finally, we got, no, that's it. Forgot tight ends are the last position we do. I'm not going to do the DSTs or the kickers. Some more quick notes. Ladarius Gunter, Green Bay cornerback, he left with an elbow injury in the second quarter. They've got their two starting cornerbacks back, so this isn't a huge deal. Brian Bulaga, though, their right tackle, he left with a shoulder injury. That could be a bigger deal. Don't know the severity. San Diego guard Matt Slauson, foot injury. Cam Chancellor hurt his shoulder but was able to return. San Diego linebacker Denzel Perryman was carted off the field. And the Broncos, as I mentioned earlier, they are a beat-up mess. So now, Chris, I would like to share something that one of our listeners shared with us. Christmas poem of fantasy football. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
By all means.
So this is by Devin Ritchie, and Devin faced his friend Maddie in the finals. Devin's team name is Hearns Notice, and Maddie's team name is so inappropriate, I would immediately get fired if I said it. The first two lines of the poem are so inappropriate that I would immediately get fired if I read them. So I'm going to skip around a little bit. But Devin again is the subject here. He faced Maddie. Hearns Notice is his team. And 'Twas the Night Before Christmas is the poem. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Skip, skip, skip. Censored, censored, censored.
Beep.
There you go. With the early players done, it was anyone's game. All that was left was one man, and Fedorowicz was his name. Devin couldn't watch. He was so scared. He merely checked updates as they were shared. And I should mention, Devin was playing, he was up slightly, and he was playing against Fedorowicz. After the first half, Devin sighed with relief. Fedorowicz had just one catch. His targets were brief. But out of halftime, what did the Texans do? They threw to CJ, and his yards did accrue. Then it came to the fourth quarter with Devin only up by three, just two catches from CJ, and Maddie would jump with glee. But then a miracle happened on the field this night as Tom Savage realized DeAndre Hopkins might. With a flurry of targets to him and a few to Will, Devin's heart opened up, and with hope it did fill. Then the strangest thing happened. The Bengals came through. The time used on the last drive grew and grew. Finally, with 5 seconds left, Devin screamed at the TV, "Missed the field goal and a champion I'll be." And then it happened. Bullock shanked the kick, and the game clock went to zero with a tick-tock tick. It was finally over. The match was all done. Hearns Notice was champion. He had won. And Devin ran into the street and yelled with delight, "Fantasy football to all, and to all a good night." Yes. Good job, Hearns Notice. Good job, Devin. Thank you so much for the creativity. Let's get a couple of emails in to help people with their championships. From Ryan in Maple Ridge, "I'm currently losing by less than 2 points in a half-point PPR league. He has Dez. I can either play Dak or Stafford. What do you think?"
Whew, that's a really tough one. I think you almost want to go with Stafford, just because every time that Dak throws to Dez, that's points. That's more points for him. So you're almost hoping for a bad Dak game in that situation. I think you go with Stafford.
So I would probably go with Dak, because I never look at who I'm playing, and it doesn't really matter. You just want the guy who's going to score more points. Also, the Cowboys said they're approaching this game gung-ho, right? Like they're going to win.
Yeah.
And that's part of Ryan's concerns. But that said, if they're up big, there still is a chance they pull guys, or down big, they pull guys early.
Yeah.
It's a really tough call. I would personally think I'd go Dak, just because Stafford just hasn't been good for a while.
That's
for like
fair.
8 weeks, except for the Saints game. So, I still think you're going to win, buddy. The other thing is, like, I'm not going to overthink it. Good luck, Ryan. This is Mike from a city in Western New York. I think we can figure it out from his greeting. "Dear Jim, Thurman, Andre, and Scott."
It's clearly from Senectady.
Yeah, exactly. "I'm in the finals of my 12-team PPR league for the third time in 4 years. I've never won the league. I need Eric Ebron and Dan Bailey to score less than 18 points. How lucky do I need to be?" Ebron and Bailey less than 18.
I don't think you need to be too lucky. I would say you've got a 63.7% chance.
Oh, all right. Well then, congratulations on your win. Hot takes. Give me your hot takes on the following players. Deion Lewis, 16 carries against the Jets, 18 carries at the Broncos the week before. Not catching the ball, Deion Lewis, hot takes.
He's the best running back in New England, and you can't rely on him on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I wonder what this does to Blunt. I mean, Blunt had another great game because he scored two more touchdowns, but, you know, they're not going to have those two combined for, like, 35 carries, you'd think, at the Dolphins. But
maybe.
That was Deion Lewis' hot take. Let's get a Ty Montgomery hot take. Terrible game. One of the biggest busts of the week. 9 carries for 23 yards and 4 catches for 17 yards against the Vikings at Detroit this week. Ty Montgomery.
I still think he's really good. I'm still more optimistic about him than anything else.
Tevin Coleman, 9 carries, 90 yards, and a touchdown, and 3 catches for 45 yards. Tevin Coleman, hot take.
He probably hurt a lot of people. Might have cost you a fantasy championship if you were relying on Tevin Coleman.
But what? Because you? Why?
Because he got off to such a good start this season that you were probably relying on him and trusting him, and he's been mostly bad in the second half of the season. He had a good game yesterday. He had one good game since returning from the injury, but he had the injury. He's been mostly bad. It's been a disappointing second half.
Todd Gurley, 23 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown, 3 catches for 20 yards. You got what you wanted out of him, but hot take on Gurley.
I have no interest in drafting him next year.
Wow.
I thought I might. I thought his value might go low enough, but he's been so bad all season. Like, what round is appropriate value for Todd Gurley at this point? Like, is he going to fall past the third round? Probably not.
Oh, yeah, we did the Twitter poll last week. I don't remember what the results were. I think like third or fourth round.
Yeah, I think people are still going to be able to talk themselves into him. And like, he went against one of the worst rushing defenses we've seen in years twice.
Right.
And rushed for like 2.9 yards per carry against them.
Now, the first time they had Navarro Bowman and they were playing at home, the Niners. And that's a tough spot. They're usually good at home with Bowman. But the second time, yeah, you got to do better than that. I'll be interested to know if there was some type of injury or whatever that comes out after the year. Yeah. But you know who he's reminding me of? Jeremy Hill.
Sure. And Trent Richardson.
Yeah, yeah. But with Hill, I was pretty sold on a bounce back last year.
Yeah.
And I was even kind of... No, I'm sorry. I was sold on a bounce back this year. And it's not happening. And you just have to sit there and start to wonder...
Rex Burkhead looks better than Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, so here's the thing with Hill. During the broadcast, one of the few things I actually was able to hear, because that game was a spotlight game, the announcers mentioned that he had been banged up coming into the week. And again, that's a team that's not playing for anything. So I think that's why Hill's carries were limited. He had about 10.
Yeah.
I think he's just nursing injuries. Okay, hot take on Allen Robinson, who had 9 catches for 147 yards on 12 targets against Tennessee.
Will be one of the best values in fantasy football next season.
Do you trust them at the Colts in week 17?
No, you can't trust Allen Robinson, but I will definitely be starting him if I'm still alive.
You should be fine. You're healthy. I mean, it's a lot of Diet Coke you drink, but I think you'll be around for the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mostly aspartame at this point.
Robinson, by the way, 147 yards on Saturday, 105 yards in his previous 5 games combined.
Tennessee's secondary is an atrocity.
The worst. Cameron Meredith, 37% owned. J.J. Nelson, 37% owned. Both of them over 130 yards and a touchdown. Both of them have been pretty good when they've gotten work, when they've gotten looks. Cameron Meredith, J.J. Nelson, hot takes.
I have no interest in J.J. Nelson still. I haven't all season. I just don't buy the workload. Anyone that relies that much on big plays is just hard to trust. And Cameron Meredith is pretty good. Like,
yes.
He's big. He fits the mold of what the Bears want from their receivers. And I think he's someone that could have some value next season.
Nelson got 7 targets, though. He's had 4 games with 7 or more targets, and he scored 8, 19, 9, and 19 fantasy points in those games in standard scoring leagues. So I'm fine with Nelson. I like Nelson more than you do. They've got the Rams this week. Yes, the Rams. Meredith, yeah. That was a good call, Dave. I'm not sure where Jamie had him. Dave said Meredith was a sleeper on the podcast this week because the Redskins struggle with slot receivers, and everybody not named Jay Cutler seems to recognize that Meredith is pretty good. And Alshon had a fine game as well. You know, if they're going to get killed, Barkley's going to throw for 300 yards every week, and he's thrown 8 interceptions in 2 games. But
yeah, I mean, look, he's a backup, yeah. But it wouldn't be surprising if he was their starter next year.
All right, I forgot to ask you this. Is Tyreek Hill still Cordarrelle Patterson?
I mean, he's a wide receiver who had 0 catches yesterday, but still had 15 fantasy points because he had a 70-yard touchdown. Yes, this is exactly what, and look, maybe he will progress more than Cordarrelle Patterson did. Maybe his career will take a different path. But right now, it's exactly the same thing as what Patterson did his rookie season. And it just, you have to rely on him getting a lot better as a wide receiver for him to sustain a lot of fantasy value, because you just can't, I don't care how good you are, nobody can score big plays at the rate he has sustainably. It doesn't happen.
It's 2 weeks in a row for Tyreek Hill with no catches and big fantasy production.
Yeah, I mean, that's just unsustainable. Like,
I know, but what if his role grows? I mean, what if he got 5 carries in this game? What if he gets 8, you know, with Spencer Ware out? What if he gets 10? He's awesome.
Maybe. But, you know, if he doesn't get the 70-yard touchdown run, he has 20 yards on the game. And now you can't take out everyone's best play, because then nobody would be good. But it's just, he's so reliant on plays that have a, you know, maybe they have a 7% chance or a 10% chance of happening with him, as opposed to a 2% chance for everyone else. But you're still talking about relatively rare plays that keep coming up. If I knew blackjack, I don't know what the analogy would be, but it feels like, you know, hitting on 16 6 times in a row and it comes up 5 times. It doesn't mean you were smart for doing it. It just means that you got lucky, and I feel like that's how it is with him.
Chris.
But I feel like an idiot every time he does it.
But Chris, to be fair, if you have 16 and the dealer is showing a 7 or higher, you have to hit.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, the point is, like, you're probably going to bust if you hit on 16, but you always assume that the card you don't see from the dealer, you always assume it's a 10. So,
okay, this is very informative.
And the dealer, when the dealer has 17, the dealer stays.
So are you saying that Denver missing Brandon Marshall was the equivalent of a dealer showing a 7?
And you have to hit on 16?
We've completely lost the thread on this analogy.
Yes! You destroyed it! I have no idea what to say to that. No idea.
I just... Look... He can progress, he can grow, but if you're asking me would I rather have Allen Robinson or Tyreek Hill next year, I would take Allen Robinson every time.
I would too. But I'm not going to hold Cordarrelle Patterson against Tyreek Hill. You know,
look, like I said, he can grow as a player in ways that Cordarrelle Patterson didn't. It's not to say he's fated to be Cordarrelle Patterson, it's just that the way he's producing right now is unsustainable. As he does it every week, of course.
Yeah, of course, right? Well, Antoine Smith, I think, is a good comparison.
Yeah, Antoine Smith. That he is the super A plus version of Antoine Smith right now.
Yeah, but it's obvious Tyreek Hill's a really good player, and they stole him in the draft. And off season reports are frustrating. I get annoyed with them. I try to tune them out. I mean, they're good for fantasy analysts because they give us something to talk about. But a lot of them are hogwash, and a lot of them are just like, hey, there's nothing going on. Let's write a report about
Tyreek. Tyreek Hill's definitely going to be in the best shape of his life next offseason.
Not just that. I actually think that offseason reports for him will be very interesting and probably extremely important, because we're going to want to know how are they going to use him. We're going to want to know how much they like him, what kind of role he's going to have. But then it will also go back to this. There is just a limited amount of upside for any player on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And Kelce is sort of defying that right now. But Kelce was a bust until about 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Macklin, huge bust. And Macklin had 1,000 yards last year, the first receiver that
Alex
Smith
was the first receiver to score a touchdown for them in like a 25-game stretch.
But he's also the first 1,000-yard receiver of Alex Smith's career. So
yeah, I mean, it's just a lot has to change for Tyreek Hill. And maybe it will change in the offseason, and my opinion will change. But as things stand right now, you know, if he gets into that Cordarrelle, remember Cordarrelle Patterson was like the 43rd player drafted on average in 2014.
I loved Cordarrelle Patterson.
If
more,
it
more
gets
than I
to
like
that
Hill.
Point with Tyreek Hill, there's not a chance I'll have him in a single league.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to the games. Miami 34, Buffalo 31. Anything you want to mention here?
Matt Moore is not very good, but he got a huge play out of Devontae Parker, and that made his numbers look better.
Yeah, I don't really trust the receivers that much for the Dolphins.
No, I don't think you can.
Sammy Watkins scored, though. That was good.
Yeah, that's just even more frustrating.
Well, he had the 10 targets because Tyrod Taylor tied his season high with 39 pass attempts. That's the thing. Like, Taylor could throw 20 times. It wouldn't surprise you.
Sammy might be someone who's a big value next season.
Yeah. I think he should probably be drafted where he was drafted this year, which was like third round.
Yeah.
I don't think he will be, but okay. Jacksonville 38, Tennessee 27. And a bad game for DeMarco Murray. You know, he's slowing down.
Yep.
The fantasy production's been fine because he scored, but in his last seven games, DeMarco Murray has one run of more than 13 yards.
Yeah, he's slowed down a lot. He was in that elite tier of running backs early in the season, but he's fallen off and, you know, might be someone that has some bust potential next season.
Blake Bortles scored 27 fantasy points. I talked about this a lot.
He caught a touchdown.
Yeah, he caught the touchdown from Marquise Lee. But I really thought there was a good chance for him this week because the Titans are arguably the best matchup for a quarterback right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean they got torched last week. Their two cornerbacks are awful.
Patriots 41, Jets 3.
Ugh, next.
Terrible. Yeah, there's not much to say here except you know what was really bad was Malcolm Mitchell. Really bad. Yeah. Three catches, 29 yards.
Look, they didn't have to throw the ball much. You know, how much did Tom Brady throw the ball? It was 27 times. That's actually kind of surprising.
Yeah, that's not that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it felt like less watching the game.
They had the ball for almost 35 minutes.
Yeah.
The Chiefs had the ball for almost 40 minutes, by the way. They just destroyed the Broncos. Green Bay 38, Minnesota 25. Jerick McKinnon is a pretty legit PPR start. He's had five or more catches in four straight games.
Yeah.
And he had 11 carries, so 85 total yards. That's pretty good, and he's 69% owned. And Devontae Adams scored.
If Adrian Peterson doesn't come back, it's going to be really tough to tell what to do with that team next year, though, because Jerick McKinnon and that offensive line has been awful all season long.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you'd rather have Isaiah Crowell next year over Jerick McKinnon,
right? No chance.
No way. No way?
I'm not a Crowell guy. Never have been.
Okay.
And I kind of am a McKinnon guy. I thought he was going to have a pretty good year. It will entirely depend on what they do on the offensive line.
Yeah.
It's a terrible offensive line.
And they had so many injuries before the season, too. You know, I think they lost two starters before week one.
I think the Packers, they might not even make the playoffs, but I think they're the only team that can beat the Patriots. The Steelers could beat the Patriots, but it would have to be in Foxborough.
Yeah.
Derek Carr breaking his leg. I mean, you're welcome, Patriots.
Yeah, they're going to get a lot of really bad quarterbacks. The AFC quarterback race, their picture is disastrous in the playoffs right now.
I would love to see the Steelers. Steelers will probably be, they are the 3 seed. Yeah. So they probably won't face the Patriots until the AFC championship game.
That'll be fun.
That would be awesome. We'll see if Big Ben can do it on the road.
Houston's somehow going to get there.
Washington 41 and Chicago 21. And, Deshaun Jackson,
he's been outstanding lately. I think he's going to end up with very Deshaun Jackson numbers for the season. And he's just kind of like the least reliable, consistent player in the NFL, right? Like, the season-long numbers look pretty good every year, but man, it's impossible to ride that every week.
But what I think is fascinating and encouraging is that he's not, the last 2 weeks now, not just relying on the big play.
Yeah.
Now he's getting more targets. He's getting more catches. What we saw, like, I didn't really see much of this game. You know, it was on Red Zone. But what we saw on Monday night against the Panthers was really encouraging stuff. And look, 7 catches, 5 catches in his last 2 games, 4 out of 5 over 100 yards.
Yeah.
But 17 targets in his last 2 games. I just think it's changing a little bit. Like, Crowder is a non-factor. And now Jackson is getting short yardage passes, medium yardage passes, too.
Jordan Reed being inactive this week helps, too.
Yeah, and Vernon Davis, man, 1 catch for 13 yards on 2 targets. Yeah. That surprised me. Cleveland 20, San Diego. Cleveland, what? Cleveland 20.
Yeah, Cleveland won. Yeah. They have 4 points than the other team.
That's crazy.
That is not a typo.
I thought it was a typo.
I mean, it's the best year in Cleveland sports history. You know, the Cavaliers win a championship, the Indians make the World Series, the Browns win a game.
That's right. Hooray. What Kenneth a Cavs Burrow's game.
Good.
Wait, dude, what a lame finish to the Cavs game last night. Yesterday.
I mean, it was a nice shot by Kyrie.
Oh, that was terrific. But just, I don't care about who wins. I don't want to see Kevin Durant fall on his face to end the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd prefer not to see Kevin Durant fall on his face ever.
I agree. Lovely face. Rivers, man. 8 straight games with multiple passing touchdowns for Rivers. That's really good. But stop throwing interceptions. He got 19.
I mean, he has so little talent around him in the passing game. Like, they're relying on... I know Inman and Tyrell Williams have been decent this season, but they're both undrafted guys, I believe. It just... They've had to ask too much of him for the second year in a row, and the results have been a little better in the second half this season than they were last year, but it's just the degree of difficulty for Phillip Rivers is so high. Can we get Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon healthy?
And Danny Woodhead, right?
Yeah.
And Rivers is 3 touchdowns short of his career high set in 2008. Yep. He is 31. Crowell did have a good game. You know, the thing about Crowell, I'm not really a big fan of his, but
yeah.
he doesn't usually get a lot of carries. He had 16 carries. That's the second most this season. Because obviously they're always losing. So yeah. It's nice to see. Maybe he could have a bigger role if they're better.
Maybe.
Sure. Atlanta 33 and Carolina 16. Anything
Man,
here?
Cam Newton, just what a disastrous season.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to end up scoring like 170 fewer fantasy points than he did last year.
You know, what's interesting is when he's bad, he's so bad.
Yeah.
It's not like he scores 18 fantasy points and that's a bad game. He scores 13 fantasy points.
You know what would be nice? He has 6 games with 15 or fewer fantasy points this season in CBS standard scoring, which is as many as with 20 or more.
And that's 6 point per passing touchdown. That's hard to do.
It'd be nice if they could get a wide receiver who isn't big and slow.
Yes.
Someone who can actually get open who isn't Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
So let's see if they can. The problem is they've invested a lot in Devin Funches and Kelvin Benjamin, but like neither of those guys looks any good.
Well, I don't share your opinion on Benjamin. I think they said we rushed him back too early.
That's fair.
I mean, I agree that he doesn't look good this year. I don't agree long term.
He needs to play better next year.
He does need to play better.
And he could be a good fantasy value. If you can draft him as like a number 3 wide receiver, he's got a ton of breakout potential next year.
Yeah, okay, now we're on the same page. Oakland 33, Indianapolis 25. And
Amari Cooper's second half has been disappointing for the second year in a row. But he's going to be such an obvious third-year breakout guy. I just think the talent level is so high. I think I might be alone on this. I think he's a much better player than Michael Crabtree. I know they trust Michael Crabtree a little bit more right now, but I just think Amari Cooper is going to have a huge third year.
I think if you look, though, at Crabtree, there's also a lesson to be learned there, and that is we sort of ended his career way too early. Michael Crabtree was a huge breakout wide receiver at one point with Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. I'll look up the numbers now. In 2012, well, it started in 2011, his third year. 72 catches, 874 yards, and 4 touchdowns. The next year, 85 catches, 1,100 yards, and 9 touchdowns.
And he ruptured his Achilles. That's a really tough one to come back from, and it took him a couple years.
Yep, and then he goes to Oakland. I still think Michael Crabtree is a good player. He's 922 yards last year, 956 yards this year. He'll probably get to 1,000. And Carr really trusts. He might not get to 1,000 actually with Matt McGloin against Denver.
Yeah. The problem with him though is he's super inefficient. He needs a ton of targets.
Oh yeah.
I mean, 922 yards on 146 targets last year, 58% catch rate. He's had problems with drops this year. I think there's already a pretty clear hierarchy in terms of talent. And that's not to say Michael Crabtree's not good. I just think Amari Cooper is like. Could be Odell Beckham good. Like, he has those flashes where he just, like, he has that ability to just take a slant, a 5-yard slant, and take it 73 yards. Yeah. He just needs to get consistent. And I think if that happens next year and I have the opportunity to draft him in like the early picks of the third round, I'm going to be very happy about that.
Yeah, but no, I mean, let's be, nobody's Odell Beckham good. I mean,
sure,
on, right?
But he really does have that like top three or four receiver in the NFL kind of ability.
Yeah, he's a stud. Should
like, I think he could break into that top three.
New Orleans, Tampa Bay. New Orleans 31, Tampa Bay 24. And look, Quiz Rogers did score a touchdown, and yep. That makes me optimistic that Tevin Coleman could score a touchdown in Week 17, both Freeman and Coleman, because the Saints give up a ton of those, ton of rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
Cooks and Thomas both had 98 yards, so you're satisfied there. And I do feel like if I was right about anything this year, it's that Willie Snead does not need to be on your fantasy team. Arizona 34.
You said that this week.
I said that like 5 weeks ago.
I know, but you didn't say it last week.
Oh, I would have. What did he do last week?
He had 76 catches, 76 yards on 8 catches.
Yeah, whatever. That's so whatever. If he doesn't throw a touchdown pass, he's nothing.
That was like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, we kind of ran out of time, but Cardinals, Seahawks, this was a surprising game. 65 points scored in this game.
Yeah, and it took a while. It took a long time for both teams to get going. David Johnson is just inevitable. There's just no right. worse feeling in fantasy inevitable. Football than going against him.
San Francisco 22, Los Angeles 21, who cares? Houston 12, Cincinnati 10, DeAndre Hopkins, about that. Three catches, 43 yards.
Tom Savage, a good indication of he can't be worse isn't always true.
I don't know if he was worse, but he wasn't much better, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And Kansas City 33, Denver 10. Yeah, the Denver wide receivers buried people.
Yeah.
So disappointing.
Just hugely disappointing.
And guess what? Emmanuel Sanders is the number 14 wide receiver in fantasy, and Thomas is the number 15 wide receiver. And that's actually flip-flopped in PPR. Pittsburgh 31, Baltimore 27. Any thoughts there, Chris?
Really surprising to see Steve Smith have such a good game against Pittsburgh. That's looked like a tough matchup coming in, but really good game.
Yeah, and again, Kenneth Dixon, more work than Terrence West, better production than Terrence West. Not that much more
work. He's definitely better.
They had the same amount of touches.
Yeah.
He is, but why don't we give him 20 carries instead of 12?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's tough. There's all these situations where we see one guy who clearly looks better, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into it besides just who runs the ball better.
True. All right, Chris. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
It's blackjack, okay? We're dealing. You get an 8. We're dealing. My card, my first card is face down. You get a 3. My second card is a 6. What do you do? You have an 8 and a 3. I have a 6 and a face down card.
I hit every time, right?
You double down.
Double down, sure.
You get one hit. You double your bet, you get one card, and that's it. And then we play out my hand. That's a great double down opportunity, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will keep that in mind for the next time I play blackjack.
I hope everybody enjoyed the show. I hope you all won your championship. If you're still playing, we are going to help you out. We're not going anywhere. We're around every week during the off season, at least once a week. For Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. See you later.